I never understood when I was a kid why my parents were always so tired. My dad would get home from work and he would just kind of sit on the couch and kind of fall asleep. And I always thought, come on, old man, you know, it's still time to play, right? And why are you so tired all the time? There's still things to do. And that was until I had three boys of my own, right? And, rest, right? Rest. I feel like I could just fall asleep right now. It's getting always kind of tired. We know what it is to be tired. And not just physically tired, we can be just kind of tired of hearing all of the kind of negative news out there, all the incessant complaining, tired of the fighting and tired of the bickering and tired of the worry and anxiety. We could be tired of politics and tired of masks and tired of the vaccines and tired of all of the issues that go on with that. Just kind of tired and we're tired. We could use some rest. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the days of the rebellion and in the times of testing in the wilderness. Your ancestors tested and tried me for 40 years. I kept providing for them. They saw what God had done again and again. They saw that he had delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians at the Red Sea. They saw that he had provided for them just bounteously in the wilderness. But now as they come to go into the promised land, they're freaked out because they see the giants there in the land. And they don't believe God that he will give it to them and that he will give them his rest. And so they do not believe and they do not receive his rest. Now, how do you know what you believe? Is it just what you say? Is it just say, oh yeah, I believe that? How do you know if you believe? Sitting among the people of God should never trick any of us into thinking that we actually believe. It just means that we have heard the gospel. It doesn't mean we believe it. So how do we know if we believe? Well, how do you know if you don't believe? How do you know if you don't believe? The text tells us that they showed that they did not believe. It was based on their actions. It was based on what they did. So how do you know if someone believes? It's based on their actions. Believe. You know, we throw that word believe around a lot. We use it pretty carelessly to say, I believe. Maybe we'll say things like, I believe, this team is going to win the World Series. Some, maybe with the Rangers, aren't they pretty bad this year? I don't know anything about baseball, but, I believe they'll win. I believe things like, the earth is round, okay? We kind of use it to mean like an intellectual assent to things. Believe. But with those things, there's really no commitment to those ideas. So faith, belief in faith, it is manifested in our faithfulness. It's internalizing a truth of something so deeply that truth now begins to shape the way I live. There are things that, though, that I say that I believe. I say I believe it. Sometimes I say these things so that you will think well of me. Right? We do that. We'll say, I believe that, so that you might think positive things about me. So we'll say, oh, I believe that it is a virtue to be generous. We'll say that. It's good to be generous. I believe that. But when it's the situation calls for me to sacrifice and actually be generous, I find that I really don't believe it. Because what do? I keep to myself. I'm stingy and I'm selfish. See, we can be liars to ourselves and to the world. We are fickle to ourselves. But then there are those things that are our core. They're kind of our default mode. And if you want to know what you believe, you try to get there. And you look at not what I say, but what I do. at what choices I make. God said to the Israelites, he says, you say that you believe me, right? That's what he's telling them. You say that you believe me. You say that you trust in me. You sing these songs of my rescue and redemption. But when it comes right down to it, and you have to do something and take a venture out in faith that scares you, goes against your instinct, you do not trust me. It shows what they believe. It's easy to sit amongst a community of people that think that Jesus is great. But that doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. What means something is, how does that reflect my commitment and my allegiance to him? Because my own view of myself, I can lie to myself, and I can be fickle. And if I am, I will not enter God's rest. Because there is very little connection between what we say and how we live every day. And if there is so little connection to that, is there any hope for us to enter into God's rest? Listen, let us encourage everyone as long as today is called today. It's easy to get lost in the wilderness. And if we don't listen to the voice of God, we will be lost. And we will harden our hearts. And so today, you can enter his rest. Come to me, Jesus says, all who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But what kind of rest? What kind of rest is it? Is it the kind of rest of sitting on the couch, you know, drinking beer, watching TV, eating chips? Is that the kind of rest? Is the rest going on a vacation to some tropical island and sitting on the beach and just enjoying the sunshine? Is that the kind of rest that God talks about? Is it a Sunday afternoon nap? That'd be kind of nice, right? Have we ever heard it, God ever speak of his rest before? Page one of the Bible. For 6 days, God worked, bringing the universe into order. And on the seventh day, he stops and he enters like a king to rule, to rest. God has created humanity and calls us his image and tells us to rule with him in his creation. This is God's rest. Creation is the tapestry of his work, and God enjoys it. He enjoys you. And that's where his rest is. It just keeps going and going and going. It does not end. It's never ending. And that rest of God has been available to us from the very beginning, and you are invited into it. It's always open to you, God's rest. We can be all over the map spiritually. We can be. Some of us are new believers. This is new to us. Some of us have been believers for a very long time, and you are tired. Some among us have been persecuted. And not just that things don't go my way, but real persecution. Lives have actually been threatened because you believe in Jesus. At the sword, right? At the gunpoint. We are tired. Some of us say that we're believers, but in fact, if we look at our lives, we're just really all over the place. And so the book of Hebrews is challenging us today. Each one of us challenges us, and it has a different impact for each one of us. When we really think about it, if I am one of those who just say that I believe, but I don't live it out, this story has a different challenge to me. Am I just kidding myself? Am I just paying lip service? Will I miss out on God's rest? If you've been holding fast to the Lord, God wants you right now to experience salvation. That is, experience his rest. And that rest, the rest comes not from you having to work at it and trying to earn it. to attain your own salvation. Maybe you have been trying to do this on your own, and God wants you to have his rest. But once we begin to live this out and to really internalize this gospel, we can now live our whole life from a place of confidence, a place of rest. That if we ever begin thinking, well, I'm not just not good enough, or I need to try harder, I need to pray more, I need to read my Bible more, I need to do more, and we can slip into all of that kind of thinking, we can miss out on his rest. And so he tells us, strive. Work at maintaining your attention on Jesus. And he invites us to experience his rest. Don't miss out on it. And when we look at our life, some of us, we can look at our own behavior and to say, you know, I'm not sure I really do believe. If we are really honest with ourselves. Because I say, look at what I'm actually doing. Do I live like I say that I believe? And God knows this about each one of us. He knows this, and that's why he says to us that his word, it is living, it is active, it is sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces to the division of the soul and of spirit, of joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we all must give an account. When we hear the story of Jesus, we are all exposed. Our heart is exposed. Pay attention to that. Don't ignore it. Listen to what is happening. When we hear of the gospel and our own brokenness is exposed before the one to whom we all give an account, the gospel has this way of really cutting to the quick, of working past all of our lip service that we all do, and it gets into our motives, into the intentions of our heart. It is like a scalpel to expose that gap between what I say and how I live. And we might think there is no hope for me. As that word searches and gets into my heart. But that is not bad news. That's the best news. It's good news because when all of my failure and my sin and that is exposed, now I have a chance for salvation, a chance to have faith in the gospel. And in those moments, it shows whether I really believe or not. I have a chance. And so I, in my brokenness of my heart and the fickleness of what I say, I hold fast now to Jesus and to what he did for me, and so that you have a chance to re-enter into his rest that he invites you into because of his life and his grace. And if that is you, I encourage you then just to do some searching of your heart and not push past it too fast. Have that moment. For today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For there is a Joshua who does give rest, a lasting rest. He is the risen Lord Jesus Christ who has opened up a Sabbath rest for you. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their work, just as God rested. So let us make every effort to enter into that rest, to find that rest and that release from oppression, from hunger, from occupation, from debt, from our sin, from the powers of darkness and mortality that corrupt our body. For you are released and no longer under their power. Enter into his rest. Rest in the kingdom of God, coming here on earth as it is in heaven. It is already something that is happening. It's something that you can experience today in your heart, in this present. to get a taste of this new creation through the Spirit of God. Right now, as we come together as God's people, as we bring together our prayers and our joys, and we celebrate together in the name of Jesus, we create a bit of heaven's rest here on earth. As we gather together in the power of the Spirit, praising our Lord. And we bring all of the stuff of our week. We bring all of that with us. All that you have tried to love your neighbor as yourself, and all the ways that you've tried to be people who are caring for those who are hurting around you, and you bring all of your burdens, and you bring all of your cares, and you bring all your joys together in this time, and we bring it all before Jesus, and you bring it alongside of all the rest of us who are doing the same, trying to follow Jesus. And we announce to the world that he is the king, despite what anyone else says. And sure, it is difficult when the 3-year-old is screaming for another snack, and the 6-year-old is crawling under the pews, and the older one is punching the little one, right? Just be quiet. And it can feel like 30 minutes go by and you have no idea what has happened. I know for many that's kind of your experience on a Sunday morning. But this is what happens. That there is this story that we tell and we retell and we retell and we tell it again in all different kind of ways. All throughout this time that we come together and the different traditions and symbols and practices that have happened for thousands of years. And we go here and we come and we are here to remind ourselves of what is ultimately true. To remind ourselves of God's rest. And so what does that mean then to participate in that with your whole life? Well, it looks like proclaiming the rest from someone's sins in the name of Jesus. And then going and engaging the poor and the lonely and the outcast. Those indebted people in our communities. Those are not different things. Announcing God's rest from our sin and proclaiming that good news to the poor are just one thing. Because what else do we do? What else do we do when we realize that Jesus has forgiven you, released you from everything? You start sharing that. What else do you do with your things, right? With your money, right? And your stuff. Once you realize that Jesus has forgiven you of every debt that you have, you let go of what you think others owe you. What does it look like? What does it look like when you come to the grips with that truth that all things are being made new and that there is enough for everyone? We enter into his rest. And in his name, amen.